3, 2, 1.
In your face, all over the place.
We're online. You're listening to the hottest internet station.
Hey, yo, what up, ladies and gentlemen? It's your boy Kopano Sixemoyeni Mabue. We back at it again, the spotlight interview. Today, I'm chilling with the main man. You know, he's the source for music. He's pushing the culture forward. And you know how we roll here. We don't do introductions. But yeah, with what this guy is doing, it's super, 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 super amazing. And we are very honored to have you here. Manu, how's it, bro?
Thank you, bro. Thank you for having me, man. And, you know, I'm so excited about this interview, connecting with you, and also our relationship. I feel like you and I connected a few months ago, and our relationship is growing. So thank you for the opportunity. And yeah, bro, let's get into it. Let's get into it.
Yeah, yeah. So for those that don't know who Manu is, I'd also like to know, you know, like you said, we've built that relationship, but I don't know where this guy is coming from. I know he's based in the UK, doing fucking amazing stuff, pushing the culture. But who is Manu besides music and curation?
Besides music, I mean, I guess it's worth if I just give some history and some context. So, so my parents, they're from Ghana. They obviously grew up in Ghana, lived in Ghana for a while. And then in the late 80s, 1980s, they moved to Italy, right? So I was born in 1991. So from 1991 up until 2006, I lived in Italy. I was a huge basketball player, so I loved playing basketball, playing sports. still to this day, man, still to this day, basketball is my number one thing, probably even more than music. You know, I love sports. And then we moved to London. Obviously, I was studying. I went to America for a couple of years to live in America and also play basketball over there. So I enjoyed my years in America and came back to Italy to play still, and then came back to London, started studying, did my degree in journalism here in London. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, after that, I started working. So, you know, I started working for a few different marketing tech companies, and yeah, I think I learned a lot during those years. I think anytime you have a 9-to-5, there's a lot of life skills and different qualities that you naturally learn and take on. And I've always been somebody that wanted to do their own thing, bro. Like when I started studying, I always had some type of blog, some type of online presence. Even though I wasn't getting any views, any clicks, I always uploaded, right?
For sure, for sure.
Whether it was writing an article about basketball or politics or whatever, I always just wanted to do something online. And then, yeah, 2020 came, obviously COVID happened. I was just chilling at the crib, chilling at home. And I don't know, I was listening to my first review was this soulful deep house artist, starts with a K. I'll remember the name, but I did a review, did okay, like 30 likes. I was like, it was right, you know. The guy reposted it, and then from there on, I was like, okay, if the artist likes it, you know, then, you know, it must be okay. So I just felt from the first moment that there was something there. Yeah, I just started doing reviews, reactions, sharing music that I liked at the time in 2020 2021. It was very much raw videos. Like I wasn't editing anything, man. I was just like recording, uploading it on my Instagram. And yeah, before you know it, man, people like Kid Funk started liking it, obviously Stage 3 Sounds, other DJs started supporting. And then, you know, once that happens, you know that you're doing something right and your confidence just grows. Your confidence grows, and then before you know it, you're setting out YouTube channels, TikToks, you know, this and that. But all it takes is confidence and repetition. So yeah, I think I've jumped a lot of steps.
Yeah, yeah.
For those that don't know, man, that's me, bro.
A very laid back person, by the way. Very laid back. That's what you said. You like being cozy. So you start with the reviews, you start getting likes, shares, and people. Yeah. Who was the first artist that actually said, yo, here's my music, bro. Would you like to do a reaction on this?
Oh my goodness. I've got to say, Kid Funk, man. Kid Funk was definitely one of the first guys to support. I can't remember the first artist to send me a link, but a lot of SA guys, so people like Mash, FK Mash, I was doing a lot of Stage 3 Sounds reviews at the time, just because I think Kid Funk, once he sees someone who's passionate and doesn't really care if they're getting views or not, he gravitates towards that. So we built a relationship, which now it's actually a very good relationship that I have. We work on a few things together, which is great. But yeah, Kid Funk, man, I have to shout him out every time. Every time I see him, I always say thanks, bro, because, you know, he helped a lot with where I am today and what's happened. And he continues to help, right? If I can help him with anything, if I can push some of their music, obviously, if I like it, I will. But, you know, that's... So, yeah, Kid Funk up there. There's a couple of other guys, but, you know, I've got to say Kid Funk, bro.
For sure, for sure. So, from you learning journalism and always knowing that you want to start something... COVID hit, and then you start reviewing music and so forth. You get the confidence and Kid Funk is sending you music. When did you start to say, yo, I'm now a content creator, I'm a music curator, and I'm a DJ now? Because, you know, when you're starting out stuff, we don't know the direction where it's fully going to take us, you know. And now you are really big within the Afro house, Afro tech scene, bro. Like, if someone gets a reaction from you, like, that's it, you know. And a lot of people I know, they are now into this sound because of you. But when did you start saying, yo, this is what I want to do? I'm a content creator, I'm a music creator, I'm a music curator and a DJ.
Dude, that is when, you know, people... like yourself, right? People with platforms reached out for interviews and to be part of podcasts or to do a DJ mix and things like that. So that is when I realized, okay, now people are kind of putting me on this pedestal or they're seeing me as an expert in the scene, right? So when people started asking me to be part of their platform and push their platform and collaborate, that is when my mentality changed a bit. But before then, man, I was just like, I always kind of knew I was creating something and starting something as a I guess influencer. You know, that's the buzzword at the moment. But for me, when things kind of changed and I was like, okay, I need to be a bit more professional, put a bit more professionalism, structure, things around, be more organized. People started reaching out, man. When people started reaching out to be part of the platform and collaborate, that is when things started.
And when that happens, what do you feel like? Because when you said that, it was just like raw content, you know, and you would just put raw shit out there that you like.
Content I was putting out was like, dude, imagine, like, you know, you're just putting your phone there. You're playing music out of a speaker, right? So it's not even connected, right? You're just literally just playing the sound from the room sounds, and you're just pretty much, I was just dancing in front of a camera, you know, and that's it. And then in the caption, I would put what I thought about the track. Yeah. That is as raw as you can get. But again, that is just like the most natural, authentic, you know, it doesn't get more authentic and original than that, right? Now, you know, there's so many things that are involved. You know, if I want to do a video, man, I have to let the record label know. I've got to let management know. I've got to make sure that YouTube is not going to flag my video. So you know, there's so many things now that I've got to do before I even put something on YouTube. And yeah, it was, I'm not going to say it was a lot more fun when I started, but now it's a lot more hard work.
Yeah. So do you sometimes like get the thing of just, you know, now this thing is becoming too much for me, because you started this out as a creative, you know, and I feel like a lot of creatives don't know when it's time to now scale, you know, and how you scaled your business and how you scaled Manu as a brand is super fucking amazing. You know, I know that editing takes time. That's the first. And you just mentioned that there's YouTube, you know, you need to be in touch with management just so that whatever effort that you put in the song, it doesn't get lost anywhere, you know. And yeah, now you're playing gigs, you're moving around as well. How do you feel walking into a space and people are able to, you know, recognize you and know today good music is about to be played, exclusive? Because I feel like if I were to see you anywhere in any club, I'm not expecting to hear music that I already know.
But you know, of course. I mean, listen, I've got to do it, man. I was chatting with a friend, Sean Thomas, and he was telling me, bro, he was like, do you realize you're probably the second after Kanye Music, it's you that's got the most unreleased.
Sure.
In the world, bro. He's like, oh shit, yeah, that's true. Because, you know, I'm at a good point at the moment, but for me, it's not about the unreleased, man. For me, it's it's about showing people what a good track is, and also showing producers what sound is good, not what you should be producing, but what a good quality sound is, and what the standard is, and what you should be aiming for. Because I get so many tracks, man. You know, I get so many tracks, and I try my best to give feedback where I can, and it's constructive feedback, of course. And I just try and tell them, okay, you know, you're here at the moment, but you need to think, when you're creating a track, producing, think about who's going to play the sound. And when I say that, have a list of DJs that you think you can see them actually playing that track in their set. What track are they playing before? What track are they playing after? Like, you have to think like that, because otherwise you're just like shooting in the dark, you know, and you're always going to miss. So I just try and ask DJs those questions just to help them, because I think at the moment there's a lot of noise. People are more followers rather than leaders. So yeah, we're at a space at the moment where it's very exciting, but at the same time, I'm like, I just try and keep it fresh and keep it, you know, what it should be, the best way I can, man.
Yeah. So I know most definitely a lot of exports, like there's a lot of music coming from SA. Like I said, I'm in SA right now, but I know a lot of music that you have is from here in SA.
Yeah.
What do you feel like we are missing out on? Because, you know, when I talk to producers and DJs as well, everyone wants to play overseas. Everyone is like, yo, if we can tour like Black Coffee and whatsoever. And now you just mentioned something important. There's a standard, you know, like now you're here, you know, you're growing and whatsoever. Oh, a lot of guys might ask you, how do I find myself in that space? What would you say?
Okay. So, obviously, listen, I live in Europe, so I know what hits here, what people like, right? And I think it's an interesting one, because as a DJ and producer, you should always be yourself, right? You should always be yourself. But there's an analogy, right? Say you're someone that likes to wear hoodies, but you want a job working in a bank. You can't wear your hoodie in the bank, right? So if you're trying to go to Europe, if you're trying to go to Spain, if you're trying to go to Italy, France, yes, be yourself, but you still have to adapt to that environment, right? So that's what I always try and tell people. Like, you don't have to change your sound, but understand, if you do want to tour, if you do want to go to these places, there is some adjustments, or there are rather some adjustments that you have to make just because that is what they like there. And you never know, you might like those adjustments. You know, the more you do it, the more you play, the more you produce that style, you might end up liking it. You know, at the moment you're seeing Ban Shapa, he's doing very well at the moment, right? And his sound is a club sound. And here in Europe or in the West, you have to have that club sound, electric, maybe not powerful, but it's got to be emotive, it's got to move the crowd, it's got to be sexy. Like, these things are important, right? We can't just always be, you know, epic flying sounds. Like, it's got to be, yeah, here people want to dance. Obviously people party very, very hard, you know, with substances, right? I'm not going to name those substances, but you know, this is just how people do over here, right? So it's just like, so yeah, so that's how I feel. But yeah, I would just tell, I say DJs, you know, just look at Eno, look at Bacapo, look at Caro, right? Those are the guys that are getting gigs. Why are they getting gigs? Just look at their tracks that like they're putting out. Very drum electronic sounds, right? Yeah. And that's what works.
Because I see a lot of guys do create good music, like amazing music, but it's not music that will be big in Italy, because when you look at the game, there's those cultural influences, there's a specific sound. Like in Berlin, for human's sake, you know, does that, you have to be melodic Turkish, you know, and so forth. So I know a lot of guys want to come out there and create more music and gig and stuff, but it is hard. So what are some of the things that you personally have seen in the game and that you feel like need to change?
That need to change in terms of?
As a creator, right? Like I just said, when I'm talking to you, I'm talking to, I don't want to say gatekeeper, but I'm talking to someone that is highly regarded as a master of the scene, you know? So what do you feel like needs to change?
In the scene?
Yeah, in the scene, because... Personally, I would say there's not a lot of information, man. Manu, there's no information. You know, it's expensive to travel abroad from this side, but niggas think when we come to UK, when we come back, we have money. You know, so what, like, some of the challenges that you have faced, and what is it that needs to change?
I mean, I think a lot needs to change. But I think things are changing, right? I think you're going to start seeing a lot more DJs from that side come over here. But the thing is, once you're over here, it doesn't mean that you've made it, man. Once you're over here, it doesn't mean that, you know, everything's gravy. Now you can go home and you know, you're going to be the biggest thing ever. Like, you know, you still got to work hard, because at the end of the day, the music landscape at the moment, it's difficult. Like, if you're not getting 2, 3, 4 bookings a week, more than likely you might have to get another job. Like, that's just how it is. Like, and most people do. Like, some of the biggest DJs that you like have 9-to-5s. You know, you see them touring, you see them out on weekends. But trust me, mate, like Monday to Thursday night, Monday to Friday afternoon, life is real, you know what I mean? So that's always what I try and tell people. But it's, you know, at very, very top level, that's when guys can start chilling and put their feet up. But dude, until you're getting those 3, 4, 5 gigs a week, or you have a big hit that people are playing, trust me, man, it's hard out here. So yeah, for me, it's always stay humble. Don't think that, always, I think, hype yourself up, but at the same time, know when to, you know, to chill and make the right decision. But yeah, man, it's, yeah, the music scene is volatile as well, bro. It's volatile. Like, you gotta be tough, thick-skinned, Yeah, I think there's talent. I think SA talent can do it. I'm chatting with a big producer now that was big, is big in deep house, and he was asking me how can I, you know, perhaps adapt my style and sound so that I can travel more. And I, you know, same thing I just said. That you know, just go from 116 to 120, 121, 122. Do that.
That's it.
Just do that. Do that. You know, like, it's true though. Like, it's, but also I think people need to also be a bit more, they need to study what's happening. I think people just so much, they're so like caught into their little world and you know, they have this tunnel vision. But you need to look at the landscape, study what's happening, you know, look at, okay, now people are traveling to Lebanon, the Middle East, Morocco. What sounds are they, are, you know, are they liking there? There's a lot of money in these territories. They'll pay a lot of DJs to come there and play, right? So what tracks do they like there? Okay, cool. What track do they like in Spain? All right, nice. What about France? You know, because all of these geographies have so much information that you can take and then use into your productions, and you'll still like it. You'll still like producing the sound, even though it might be a bit different to what you're used to producing. But because now you have so much knowledge, you become such a better producer, man. You just have to do those things, you know, especially right now.
Shit, man, that's a million-dollar advice there, you know. If someone didn't catch that, I think they need to re-listen, you know, because what you just said now is be you, right? That's the first. Be you. Be a student of the game. Be real.
Yep.
Use the data and the information. So I feel like a lot of guys want to focus on the music. Music, 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 music. Labels, 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 labels. But they don't even study the labels themselves.
Right.
Is this label a label that can, you know, push my sound, or are they into this type of a sound, you know? Because as much as some people send you unreleased music, I know when it's unreleased, the label might hit you up and ask you, yo, who's this, who's that, you know? And also know the players in the game. It's very important that the gents here need to know the players of the game.
Exactly.
Yeah. I like what you just said. Like that. I was here thinking that Manu, as a laid back person, hey, there's gonna be certain things that are gonna be hard for me to, you know, take out of from you. But yeah, I think that's one thing that I wanted to hear from you, because I'm representing DJs and producers across the globe. You know, pioneering acts. If you look at our platform as well, I might know everyone that's big, but we never want to be in conversation with them, because everyone's like, yo, work hard, yo, do this, do that, you know. But shout out, man. And then one important question again. When DJs and producers submit music to you, I know there will be those guys that submit top tracks. You already know them and stuff. But there are those ones that are up and coming that will like send a trash email or be like, yo, this is whom and whom, listen to my song and stuff. For those, what advice would you give to them? What's a proper way to connect with Manu?
I think, you know, I'm not going to give all the secrets, because then people are just going to do that, and then I'm just going to, you know, be flooded with those types of emails. But I think for me is have a bit of an email. So a lot of people just send me a link. That's not an email. Like that's just very lazy and not personable. Mm-hmm. I think that's just a bit rude as well. So for me, it's because at the end of the day, you have to understand people have to take time out of their day to check it out. And listening to a track and giving feedback, like that's at least 10 to 20 minutes of brain power. Listening. And then if you like it or don't like it, and most of the time I'll try and get back to them and give some feedback, you know, writing feedback takes a while because you might write something and you're like, okay, that's a bit harsh, let me rephrase it, right? So, and that takes time, right? So people have to realize that. So yeah, when you're writing emails to people, not just myself, to record labels, to artists, etc., music execs, yeah, just make sure, keep that in mind. You know, why should they take time out of their busy schedule to check out your track and give you feedback? If you need feedback, trust me, that's going to take time. So keep that in mind. But, you know, I like people that send me links on different platforms in different ways. If you hit me up on Instagram, TrackStack, email, TikTok, like, you know, I've got people that send me links on all four platforms. And there's no way I'm going to miss that. There's no way. Because I see everything right on my DM. So if I see your name on there and I might not have the time to get to it then, but I go on my TikTok and I see this name again, right? My subconscious is still going to remember it, even though I'm not registering it at the time. My subconscious is like, okay, I see these letters. This looks familiar. Then I go on email, I see it again. You know, before you know it, you're going to remember the name. So yeah, just work hard in the same way you work hard in the studio. You know, for your outreach, work equally hard.
Yeah. I think it's crazy, man. So tell me something. How many submissions do you get in a day?
Man, it varies. It can go up to 50 for sure. But
shit. What?
Yeah, it can go up to 50, 100%. Yeah. I mean, today is a bit quiet. Today I probably got maybe 20 so far. But yeah, like it's also difficult to count because, as I mentioned, I get stuff on every platform. On Instagram, people might just send me links. But on TrackStack, I usually get about 10 to 15 a day on TrackStack. But an email, there's always about five, six on email. You know, on my WhatsApp, I get so many now on WhatsApp, just direct messages. So, right. Mm-hmm. So it's all over the place. People just reaching out, sending me music. But to be honest, like most of the music that I receive, yeah, it's not going to make it to my content schedule. Just because, number one, if there's no release date, I've kind of, you know, moved on from that content just because now that the platform has grown, you know, people just need that information, right? I can't, you know, it's good in the moment posting a fire track, but I just try and provide that service and that just that level of information so that people at least know when the track is coming out. Or if the track is not coming out, you can still do that, but you know, at least have that final piece of information so that people can take that and do what they want to do. But yeah, it's a lot of music, man. It's a lot of music.
Because I'm thinking, when you say because you have a life, you know, besides this you have a life, and we're gonna jump into that later on. If you get 20 submissions and you have to listen to all of them, and you just said that you invest at least 20 minutes to also like have feedback and stuff, I'm thinking if you select like 5 tracks and now you have to go create a video or reaction for that, that's so much time. And that's why I respect you, and I want people to respect that you put so much time and effort into this. And besides the individual submissions, of course, you do have relationships with the leading record labels, right? You've worked with Metaris in the House, More Black, Defected, Engine Deep, Deep Root, Kunye, Rise, Kalama, Aluku, and many more, you know. So I just want people to understand the time and the effort that you put into this culture, man. And I respect you, man. I like, yo, bro, like you fucking shut up. You fucking shut up.
Hey, man, I think, you know what? Like for me, it's it's always about the music. And I think, like, I truly believe it's the best music in the world. Like, I was chatting with the music exec. He's from LA, and, you know, he's been quite successful pushing records. Now he's looking into Afro House, and he was telling me, like, you know, tracks like Premier Go, Night Freak Remix, one of the best, like, one of the best musical productions I've ever heard. But he was saying, like, zero marketing behind that track, bro. Like,
yeah,
absolutely. Like, can you imagine if a big record label pushed that track and put, I don't know, $1 million behind that, where that track would be? But a track like that, probably 1% of the world has heard it. And it's crazy. It's crazy. And we have so many tracks like that, so much music like that. And, you know, my videos, I think, are helping. You know, the Wilson Contura remix, now it's on like 2.5 million views, right? So that's reaching people that would have never heard of Afro House or even come across a sound like that on Instagram, on social media. So yeah, for me, it's just like, just showing people, like, this music is cool. It's the type of music that you can party hard to in the club. But, you know, if you also want to kind of nighttime drive, you know, just chill in the gym, go for a walk, like, if you're just doing your laundry in the house, you can listen to this music however way you want, wherever you are, in whatever environment. It's so versatile. Like, it's that's why I just think it's so, so good. And it crosses over cultures so well. So that's so yeah, that's why I'm so passionate about it.
For sure, for sure. I need you, and it's gonna be hard, I know. And just need top three tracks ever since you started the journey. One that made you laugh, one that made you cry, and one that really took you to the next level and showed you some shit.
One that made me laugh, bro. You gotta start there. I'm not sure. A track that made me laugh. I think I'm gonna say Vanco Hoya. The reason why is because the vocalist is, I mean, they call him a drunkard here in London. So apparently, here in South London, the vocalist name is called Tunde International. So here in South London, there's, this drunk guy. I think he's Nigerian. And he was just singing. So the chorus, the vocals in the track, it was just him singing, right? And some kids were like, "Why are you singing?" But then they realized this guy actually sounds quite good.
Yeah.
So they brought him in the studio, brought him, recorded it, Vanco got involved, and then you got Hoya. But I just thought that, yeah, that story was quite funny. Super cool, but just like, well, you got this drunk guy, but amazing track. And I think
amazing.
I checked yesterday, I think that track is not even on 100,000 streams, which is crazy. Love that track. So I'd say that one made me cry. Yeah, I don't really cry, to be honest, you know, but made me cry.
Yeah, you know, okay, let me take you to this moment when COVID hit, man. Everyone was just going through a lot, you know. It's fine if you didn't cry. I know it hit, but there's that song that hit you somewhere. Just that specific one, man.
The song that hit. I've got to think of some artists now. I was listening to a lot of Cairo. Cairo, that Agora album.
Very special,
bro. No skips. And then there's like, out of how many tracks are in the album? 20 plus.
Yeah, I think that's the first album, Afro House album, that you don't skip a song on. Like,
you don't skip a song.
That's a masterpiece. Like, I don't think, yo, there's a lot of guys that won't reach that level now.
That's crazy.
Yo, that album is special, bro.
Yeah, bro, like, that album, yeah, I feel like that album could have answered this, all these three questions. The album is crazy. So I was listening to the album a lot. When I launched my podcast, Deep Sound, which is my bi-weekly mix, I think I played most of those tracks in my mixes just because it was so good. But yeah, Carol is just a gift. That guy's different level. Carol's different level. Yeah. Carol's different level. And what's the last one? Track that made you cry, laugh, and...
The one that took you to a special place. You know, sometimes we listen to music and, you know, you just zone out and, yeah. It's you hear that, yeah, this song is really, really, really special.
Yeah.
I think with you, when I look at reactions, there's quite a lot, eh?
Yeah, look at my reactions, like, what's my... I can't pick a favorite reaction, but it's a lot of tracks like The Rapture Part 3. You know, that reaction was, I enjoyed that reaction. I did a lot of Bun Shapa reactions on my videos. But probably, I'm going to say The Real MK. I'm sure you know The Real MK. This guy, different producer, man. Different guy. Like the Real MK for me is such a special kid. And his album as well. What?
Crazy.
Yeah.
I always laugh when I look at your reactions and you go like that, like it's like there's someone that just wants to come out of you and, you know, fucking dance at that moment. You're sitting down and listening on your headphones and I'm like, I see where this is going.
Oh, listen, I feel like I need if I do upgrade my office or my studio where I can like stand up and you know, be a bit more animated, I will, but for now it's working. But yeah, I mean, so many times I just want to stand up. You know, if I stand up, the angle is not right, then you just see my, you know, you just see inappropriate areas, right? So it's just like, so yeah, but we'll get there, man. We'll get there for sure.
Now, Mani, you are established as a brand. We fucking love it. We respect it. You just now started a new podcast again. I'd like to know what other platforms are you building behind this, or what's happening behind the Manu brand. I know you move low key. I know you move low key.
I have to, like, listen, like, at my age, I've learned you got to keep things to yourself, and not in a way like you can't trust people, but a lot of the times you know, it's don't. You have to manifest things first. I feel like when you talk a bit too much, you shoot yourself in the foot. You know, a lot of the times you can't control everything, right? So if I tell you tomorrow, I'm gonna run tomorrow, but then I don't know, someone locks my house, and you're like, but you said you're gonna run tomorrow. What happened? You don't want to hear that though. You don't want to hear my excuses. You only want to, you know what I told you. So for me, it's always about like being patient, do things properly, and yeah, like, I mean, at the moment there's so many things, bro. Like the list is endless. You know, you and I are involved in one of those.
For sure.
You know, people always mention you should do a record label. I'm like, maybe. You know, there's that side. Obviously, I want to put my own music out, but it's very it's a frustrating but fun process, the one of producing.
Wait, what did you just say? You want to put what?
Put some music out, man. It's time, man. It's time.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, you had it here first. What the fuck, Manu? So we are working behind the scenes as well with music.
Here we go.
How long has that been happening, bro?
I mean, a long time, to be honest. But for me, you know, I think when you create music, you have to be okay with imperfection. But that's not me. That's not me.
I know. I know.
Yeah, you know me, right? You know my style. You know how I do. Like, yeah. I'm on it. Like, and that's just not how I am. Like, I'd rather work with someone that is doing it, but and then, you know, kind of help them help me on the journey. Because I think on my own, I just can't get to a place where I finish a track and I'm completely happy with it. But if someone else who has done it, you know, can get it at least to 90%, then I'm fine with it because I trust them. But on my own, it's difficult for me to get to a point where I'm like, all right, I can put this track out and be fine. Yeah, it's difficult at the moment for me to get to that stage. But I think a lot of producers that are listening can probably understand what I'm saying.
For sure. Wow, that's dope, man. That's dope. And you are connecting people at the same time. That's one thing that I've realized, you know. There's a lot of people that know each other through you. I don't know. Are you aware?
Oh, 100%. Yeah. I love doing that as well. I love connecting people. That's another thing that I enjoy doing.
Yeah, because, you know, that's what we need. We don't need to change a lot of things. We don't need to start a political party or some sort of, like, you know, agenda to make sure that we push the culture forward. But we just need you, Manu. The world doesn't need another DJ. The world doesn't need another content creator. The world doesn't need another music curator. The world needs you, Manu. And from this interview, I know we're supposed to go 20 minutes, and I also
I'm enjoying it.
Just got to learn new things about you, you know, get to know you more, and that's what makes this interview special. So these are your flowers, bro. You're a fucking amazing person, bro. And I know that as much as you laid back, you'll say, you know. But
I'm chilling, man. You know me, man.
I know you. That's what I'm saying.
Always to the next one. Always on to the next one for me, man.
Yeah, but I know something big is about to happen. The world needs to know that where the party is at. The party is at Manu's house. The party is with Manu.
Manu's house, man. I think you just gave me an idea for an event name, Manu's house. That would be stupid.
Okay. Are you also gonna jump into events,
dude? I hate doing events, so I need someone else to do it for me. Like, I'm happy pushing it on my page, but dude, I cannot organize events, man. Like, I'm a content person, as you know. I know how to tell a story, I know how to make it look good, you know, I know how to check facts and make sure that everything is patterned up, but
man,
events. Man, I don't think just owning it from start to finish, I can't do it. But with the brand, the marketing, of course. But yeah. But I think I do want to start maybe something here in London, just as a test. And I think, you know, I kind of have to. It's a bit irresponsible of me not to leverage my connections, at least, you know, do something, even if it's small, doesn't have to be huge.
For sure.
But yeah, I think people would buy in. I think people would have fun. I could get, you know, a pretty good name on the lineup, good venue, things like that. But yeah, for me, it's, you know, I know how events are, and especially like starting from zero. It's not the best idea. I don't get the best feeling from that at the moment, but we'll see.
But I think the position that you're in, it can always be easy to put in some strings. I know once you get to a certain level, things just become easy for you, you know. But shout out, man.
Yes, sir.
What would you like to tell Manu? Manu 5 years from now, like just 5 years ahead, and now you're looking at yourself, what is it that you'd like to tell yourself?
Hey, for me right now, I always tell myself, don't fuck it up, you know, because it's, for me, that's what it comes down to. It's just, you know, understand who you are, what you represent, right? Don't fuck it up, because I think it's very easy to fuck up things. It's easier than you think, you know, so whether it's making the right decisions, being conscious when you, when you're outside, just, you know, sometimes you walk out of your house and things happen, right? It's just little things, you know, just the unforeseen. So for me, it's just like, now anytime I go somewhere, I'm a lot more careful, just because, you know, you just don't want whatever, you know, not in a bad way, but just whatever to happen, because, you know, people do count on my continent and what I have to offer, right? So you got to be careful, you know, if you're going out partying, you know, responsible, be responsible. So for me, it's just like, don't fuck it up, be consistent, put things in place now, because I think now I'm in it, right? So now I know what I'm going to do for the next however many years. So yeah, put things in place now, so that 5-10 years from now, you would have grown something big by that time. And don't be afraid to try things. Just, you know, even the event thing, just try it. It might work, it might not work. If it doesn't work, it's okay. Like, you still have your videos and your platform, but that's not going anywhere. So yeah, just don't be scared, man. That's what I would say.
For sure, for sure. I'm gonna send you this in the next 5 years.
I
think I'd have to be there in London, and just to see your reaction now, you know, just to see your reaction when you have finally done the shit that you were supposed to do. And I feel like the journey is more, like you just mentioned now, you have to be conscious of what you're doing, what you represent, and who you're doing this for. Like you said, there's a lot of people that are counting on you, and I think within the house music space and what we're doing, we care more about the people, and sometimes we never take care of ourselves, because it's always been about music for us and the good vibrations, you know.
I agree, and I think especially when you're in the social media game, you know, kind of thinking about yourself is an afterthought a lot of the times. You're just like, no, I need to be visible. I need to post. I need to be present. They have to see me. They have to know that I'm still posting. Consistency. And yeah, I felt guilty. Like when I went to Ghana 2 weeks ago, I felt guilty that I wasn't posting. But
yeah,
at the end of the day, like, you know, it's, but that's just natural. I think that's just comes with it. But, you know, you've got to take care of yourself, because if you don't do that, then, you know, everything else is not going to be there. So you got to always have to have a balance.
Yeah, because you did mention that, yo, the network is really, 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 really bad, you know, and there was nothing that you could do, bro. Like,
Nothing that I could do. But so, also, I have to be in my space to do anything. Like, I have to be here. Like, this room, everything happened in this room. Like, this room for me, it's like, you know, it's everything. It's spiritual, because once I'm in this chair, you know, I'm in this space. So my mind just runs crazy and all these ideas come. But everywhere else, you know, there's other factors, other people, you know, whatever is happening is not the same environment. But when I'm in here, I don't hear anything. So I'm happy to just do whatever I'm doing. So yeah, you gotta have your sanctuary, if that makes sense.
Sure. I think that's a conversation for another day, because I would really like to dig in deep on what's the creative process like. Like, when magic is happening, how do you find it? You know, because sometimes you might be at a club and the magic is happening. You know, sometimes you might hear something from afar, but you can hear, oh shit, that's a dope song, right? I just want us to also guide through producers and DJs that I know on how to find the magic when it's happening, because this is not a switch on and off thing, you know.
No, and
hence all of the music that you put out is dope.
In closing, I'm gonna recommend this book for people. This is, I'm sure maybe you know this book.
Yeah, I've read it. Have it on my phone. Whenever I feel uninspired, whenever I feel like I'm tired, whenever I feel like the magic is not happening, that's the book that I run to. The name of the book is, can you just name it for me?
The Creative Act.
Yeah, Rick Rubin.
Rick Rubin, yeah, exactly. So that book, you know, it literally touches every single point, corner, however you want to put it, about the creative process and art and all of those. Like, you know, it's a great book.
Yeah. I think Manu, we're gonna jump into that, right? We have to close this one. Unfortunately, I had a great time, bro. But like I said, man, here are your flowers.
Thank you so much, man.
I hope everyone can catch up, you know, and check you out, and really, you know, like, you know, there's people that will just like. There's people that will just like comment on the music and stuff, but I really hope that people will like keep on encouraging you and fueling that fire and dropping you DMs and telling you how amazing you fucking are, bro. Like, you know what I mean?
I appreciate it. And to be honest, like, sometimes you need that, you know, because at the end of the day, we are humans and we all go through trials and tribulations. We all have ups and downs. So those messages, you know, what you've just kind of shared there, but, you know, even just simple DMs from random people always help. So, thanks, man.
Ladies and gentlemen, this was the Spotlight interview. Manu was in the building. We had a great chat, an amazing conversation. I'll check you on the other side, bro. This was the Spotlight interview. Much love. Away.
Thank you, bro.